Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Anthony D'Amato is a Jersey-bred, Brooklyn-based singer-songwriter who, when he was in college, the Pulitzer Prize-winning Irish poet Paul Muldoon helped D'Amato hone the lyricism and his critics would later recognize as extraordinary. For example, D'Amato is one of Rolling Stone's new country artists you need to know in 2016. His new EP, called Five Songs from New Orleans, was recorded in the historic Garden District on a trip to the Big Easy. One critic called the songs lovely and melancholy. Another described it as simply stunning. But you can hear for yourself because Anthony D'Amato is in studio with us. Welcome to All of It.
Thanks for having me.
So you're going to play us a tune to start?
Yeah, we'll start with a song called Some Folks. Some folks say that heaven's real. Some believe in hell. Some folks say that angels' wings come from ringing bells. Some folks say that God's a gal, and I'm inclined to agree. I'm going down the road again. I hope she'll talk to me. Some folks like their coffee black, some prefer with cream. Some folks like to close their eyes and call it a dream. Some folks like their neighbors the way they used to be. Some folks feel real welcome here. Some folks know they're not. Some folks feel the playing field tilting from the top. Some folks feel the earth is flat. Yeah, that's what they allege. Going for pennies, some folks work for peace. Some folks work the weekends, while others work the streets. Some folks work for billionaires and still can't feed their kids. Fire. Some folks vote for flood. Some folks vote for mercy. Some folks vote for blood. Some folks vote for pickpockets to rob 'em with a smile. Might take a while. I'm going
That was Anthony D'Amato with Some Folks. Was there one particular thing, Anthony, that inspired that song? Because I think we all know what it was about and got the vibe.
You know, I was in New Orleans when I wrote and recorded all these songs, so that was certainly on the front of my mind is walking around these different neighborhoods. But it's something, it's not specific to New Orleans necessarily. It's something I see all over the country, all over the world when I'm on tour, is that there's these very clear dividing lines in some mm-hmm. neighborhoods over who's welcome and who's not. And sometimes it's racial, sometimes it's economic, but it can be as simple as the middle of a street, and one side is, you know, okay, and one side's not.
So you did not run over and play the stand-up bass or the drums and the guitar at the same time while you were singing that song?
I did not.
I'll introduce everybody to
sure.
who's in the studio.
Sure, so that was Luke Sissel playing the fiddle.
Hi, Luke.
Ben Galina on the upright bass, and Eric Hishman playing drums.
All right, we're going to get some clarinet in there in a little bit
yeah.
as well. So I'm so interested in how you decided that country music was going to be your thing, because as I mentioned, you're from Jersey, you're
sure.
Brooklyn-based. Mm-hmm. And you play country music.
You know, I play all kinds of music. And
Americana. Kind
Americana,
of, yeah.
I guess. You know, I never know what to call it. People ask me what I play, and I say, you know, it's folkish, mm-hmm. folk adjacent. I've got an acoustic guitar and a harmonica a lot of the time. And one of the fun things about being a solo artist, though, is that every record I get to pick a new band to go in the studio with. I get to pick who I want to go on tour with. So, you know, down in New Orleans, I recorded with all New Orleans musicians that I met just during that month that I was living there. And so I found these incredible folks who were so excited to collaborate and so generous with their time and talents. And so that really influenced the sound of this record. All I had were acoustic instruments to work with, so that's why it came out sounding pretty folky.
When you were down there and you started working with these musicians who you'd never met before, first of all, how did you meet them? How did you introduce them to the idea of this project?
Well, I'd been on tour in Europe last year, and I met New Orleans musicians, and I said, you know, I was going to be down there. And they gave me some recommendations of folks to hit up, even, you know, maybe mm-hmm. just to go for a drink or folks to meet when I'm down there. But I brought a microphone with me and my guitar because I thought I might do some writing and some demos and stuff. And it kind of just got carried away from that point. I started recording some stuff myself, and I thought, well, this would be nice with some bass. So I reached out to the bass player they'd recommended, and he said, well, you know, I've got a viola player or a cello player who I could recommend to play on this. And she said, oh, you know, who'd be great on harmonies for this? And she said, oh, you know, who could play clarinet? And suddenly I had a whole record.
Isn't that interesting how you start you meet somebody and then you think, I want to know their tribe.
Right. It became this game of musical telephone sort of too, because the songs became very different than, you know, when I'm writing with just an acoustic guitar, I have my whole history mm-hmm. and direction, and they bring such different histories and direction to it that everybody kind of added something else. And when I looked at the finished product and compared it to where I started, I was kind of blown away in some cases by how far and how different it had become.
My guest is Anthony D'Amato. We're talking about his new EP, Five Songs from New Orleans. How did you decide it was going to be just five?
That was all I had time for. I was down there for about a month. And like I said, I wasn't planning to make a record or anything. My idea was just maybe I'd have some free time to write. I was house-sitting. I was in between tours. And I ended up writing five songs and recording them with these folks, and it just felt it felt right to put it out as a document of this month that I spent in that city. And I'd love to go back and do five more songs from New Orleans next time or something.
Is there something that appeals to you about doing EPs as opposed to full-blown records?
I like them both for different reasons. The fun of the EP, I think, is the simplicity of it. I recorded, engineered, produced, mixed the whole thing myself. And because it was just these five songs and just these stripped down arrangements, it was pretty simple to do and make and just put out in a really short time frame. So it kind of, it felt like a way for me to keep sharing with fans like what I'm, you know, where I am at any given moment, rather than saying, okay, I'm going to go make a record, I'll see you in 2 years, you know?
I have to ask about your relationship with poet Paul Muldoon.
Sure.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you were going to Princeton.
Yes.
You were at Princeton. How did you get involved with him? How did he become part of your story?
He was somebody that I'd always really looked up to. His just poetry is incredible, but he's also really into rock music. He has a rock band that he plays in, and he wrote lyrics with Warren Zevon. And so he was somebody that I sought out kind of as soon as I got there, because he seemed like someone who could help me get better at the one thing that I wanted to do with my life. And so I found him pretty early on, and I brought him some music I was writing, and we kind of developed this relationship, you know, over the last probably 2 years or so of my time at school, where, you know, every so often I would bring him a batch of songs, and he would take some time with them and mark them up with a red pen and, you know, show me places where he thought images were strong, places where things could be tied together better. And it just, you know, his voice is still kind of in my head when I'm editing myself on anything now. So I really carry that with me.
What were you studying at school? What was your concentration or major?
I majored in, it was called English and American Studies. So it was like a combination of history and art. And it was an excuse for them, for me, to write my thesis on Bruce Springsteen and have them not be able to do anything about it.
How'd that go?
It was great.
Do you have to defend a thesis at Princeton?
No, not an undergrad.
Okay.
But I will gladly defend that thesis on the street to anybody who wants to talk about Bruce Springsteen.
What do you think, after working with Muldoon and also just being a lover of literature, is the relationship between song lyrics and poetry?
Well, this is something that Muldoon and I would talk about a lot, because they do share a lot in common, but I think there's some distinct differences. And the biggest, I think, is that in music, you have more than just the words to tell the story. You've got the actual music and the arrangement and the production. And there are times in songs that you can get away with not saying certain things and letting the music say it for you. There's certain things you can do in music that you don't have the luxury to do in poetry. And that's one of the things I love about music, is that there are these different aspects to it. You can say things lyrically, but you can also undercut what you're saying by what you're doing musically and just, you know, imply that your narrator isn't trustworthy, or you can do all these little things like that that either emphasize or undercut what you're doing lyrically with the music. So you have this kind of whole other palette of colors to work with.
My guest is Anthony D'Amato. Can we hear another song?
Sure, we'll play a song for you called "Party's Over."
Sink, empty bottles on the lawn, ain't a drop left to drink. Now that the party's over, I can go to sleep. My head is aching, my feet are sore. There's a stranger passed out on the bathroom floor. Now that the party's over, can go to sleep. Everybody in this town seems to think that they're your friend. Who's gonna stick around, honey, after the party ends? Blood on my knuckles, head. I think I threw up, but I'm not sure where. Now that the party's over, I can go to sleep. A cup of coffee, some hair of a dog, it'll have to wait until the spins wear off. Now that the party's over, I can go to sleep. Everybody in this town seems to think they're your friend, but I hope you stick around, honey, after the party ends. doors open and the choir sings. The day is dawning, the sun's on the rise. I shut the curtains and I close my eyes. Now that the party's over, I can go to sleep.
That was Anthony D'Amato. The name of his new EP is Five Songs from New Orleans. Shout out for our clarinet player,
John DeLucia. Thank you so much.
John, thanks so much. Anthony, guys, thanks so much for coming on in.
Thanks for having us.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. I'll meet you back here when I meet you back here.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.